Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. In verse 13, you are called to freedom from the law, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. This happens a lot. People say, I don't have to live under the law. I can live by the flesh. I remember years ago, one guy said, I'm not under the law. I can drink alcohol if I want. I'm not under the law. Well, the Word of God has something other than that to say about alcohol. I'm not going to get into that today. But that was using freedom from the law as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. By means of love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another, and this does happen. People bite and devour one another rather than serve one another by love. And in that biting and devouring, they destroy the other people's capacity. They quench the spirit. They crush their ability to respond to God. They strain the ability in that person for their relationship to God. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing what you want. Now, this people sometimes will read as, well, you want to sin and the desire of the Holy Spirit will keep you from sinning. That can happen, and it does happen, but it really works in both ways. You want faith response, but the desires of your flesh keep you from faith response. So it's a two-way street here. When you live in this kind of a situation where your flesh is wrestling against your spirit, as in Romans chapter 7, then the desires of one will prevent the desires of the other in both directions. You do the things you don't want to do. You don't do the things you do want to do. And some days you will not want to sin and you will sin. And some days you'll want to have a life of faith, and you will not have a life of faith. Likewise, some days you're going to not sin because of the Spirit and live in faith because of the Spirit and so on. It's going to go in both directions, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James said. Therefore, it's going to be a flip-flop. What we do, though, is different. There is something to living in the Spirit that sometimes we tend to forget. We think of it as an individual life with God, and indeed it is. But it's an individual life with God that works in a certain way. The way that it works is that through love we serve one another. Through love we serve one another. And this is the challenge, that through love we serve one another. In verses 19 to 23, the fruit of the flesh is against the fruit of the Holy Spirit and vice versa. The fruit of the flesh is pretty disturbing if you read those passages, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is very edifying if you read those passages. You're called to serve one another through love. This is how you know that you are functioning in the Spirit. You serve one another through love. In John 4:21, this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Serving people becomes the expression of serving God. Loving people becomes the expression of loving God. In Matthew 25:40, whatever you do to the brethren, you do it to God. So when we serve by love, the focus is not on the serving. The focus is on love. We have this tendency. We say serve one another by love, and we focus on the details of the service. We focus on the details of the need. And indeed, we say to ourselves, and not entirely incorrectly, this is the need, these are the details, I can't take care of the need if I don't take care of the details. But it's not about the details. The details will be taken care of, but it's not about the details. What I do to serve people is not to serve their details. What I do to serve people is to love them. You serve one another by love. So you love them, and that is serving one another. Now, that love is going to have expression. And yes, we often talk about patience and kindness as being the first two manifestations, and indeed they are in 1 Corinthians 13:4, but that takes us well beyond. Christ's love in a certain sort of a way. God loved this world in this manner, it says in the original language in John 3:16. God loved the world in this manner. There is a manner to loving. He gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't just patience, and it wasn't just kindness. Those were the root of it. Those were the source of it. Those were the motivation and the energization. But it had an outcome. It wasn't, I'm patient and kind, and I do nothing with it. God loved the world in this manner, that he gave his only begotten Son. We love people in a manner, but the whole idea is not the manner. The whole idea is that we love. We serve one another by loving people. And then when I love somebody, that takes on an expression, a manner, a detail, if you will. But the idea is to love. You're not called to people's details. You're called to serve one another by means or through love. In Romans 12:9, let us love without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the word enupoikritos, and it means pretense. Love people without pretending. You don't have to pretend to love people. There is a way to love people without pretending to love people, where it's real. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Well, yes, that makes sense. In Romans 5:8, in the original language, we became one with the love of God. That, in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, took place at the cross. We love because we are one with him who is love. He first loved us. He initiated it. In Jeremiah 31:3, drew us to himself with loving kindness, caused us through faith to become one with him. He is love, now we love, simply by expressing who we are in Christ by faith. Then in verse 10 it continues, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. When I don't pretend to love, being kindly affectioned comes automatically. If I don't pretend to love, then that element that follows love, which is often an emotional response of a correct sort, not of an incorrect sort, that is going to come because love is present. we'll respond to the love that God has. We'll respond to the affection that God has. We'll respond to the heart that God has. It becomes our affection and our heart. It becomes the way we think because we're one with Him. As we grow in that faith to faith in Romans 1:17, we grow in who He is. We grow in that relationship. And it becomes very simple to love one another. It becomes very simple to serve one another by love. And then it continues, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is key. This is where a lot of people lose this capacity, lose really the know-how for love. They try to love out of themselves. They know God loves them. They accept that by faith. And then they try to implement love. But even though they know God loves them and they accept it by faith, they still don't have a source of that love. And the difference is right here. Serving the Lord. We love without pretense because we are serving the Lord. You seek the Lord to serve Him first. You do not seek to serve people first. You seek the Lord to serve Him first. You serve God first. If I seek and serve the Lord first, then I will serve people without becoming in bondage to them. That means that I won't be occupied in the negative sense with the details of their need. I'll serve God, but in as much as I'm serving God, I'm serving people. I don't focus on people and I don't focus on their need. If I do that, I'll become in bondage to them. I'll become in bondage to their need. Instead, I focus on the Savior. I focus on the love of the Savior and I focus on my relationship to the Savior. Love then fills me and overflows from me. Affection will fill me from Him and then overflow from me. Caring will fill me from Him. He cares for us and then it will overflow from me. And people don't get my love. They get the overflow that I possess of His love. If I seek to serve the Lord first, then I will serve people without becoming in bondage to them. Their details will not be my focus. Their details will not even be my concern. I will take care of their details because God loves that person and God desires to take care of their details, and I'll do it out of a heart that God possesses toward them. I'll possess the same heart and it will no longer be arduous. I will love them in this manner. Just like Jesus loved us in this manner. And so that expression toward people where I serve them is simply an extension of the fact that I'm serving God and it's overflowing toward them. That keeps me very free. That keeps me very energized. That keeps me very focused on a provision and a source that without that provision and a source, I'll have no choice. My love will become pretentious because without a source of love, how do I love? I can try to go through the motions in the natural man, but the natural man is useless. I can try to be kind without being kind. Well, that's useless. I try to pretend to possess something without possessing it. Well, that's not going to last long, and it's going to have a manifestation. In 2 Chronicles 12:14. He did evil because he did not prepare his heart to serve the Lord. In Galatians 5:6b, the faith by which we serve works by love. It's energized by love. It gets its life from love. When we don't seek the Lord, there is no love, and our faith is dead. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, where there is no love, it doesn't matter what I do, it's meaningless, because it's pretense. And serving other people at that point is just pretending. Nobody can pretend indefinitely. No one can pretend indefinitely. In John 15:12, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, that means in 1 Corinthians 13:4, be patient as he is patient, be kind as he is kind. This allows love to flow out of you without making it personal toward you. That is to say, you're not the source. As I have loved you, you have this relationship of love with God. You become one with God. You keep yourself in the love of God by looking for mercy. And when you do this, you possess the love of God. When you have the Word of God as your frame of reference in John 15:5, then love will be abundant in you. You're not going to have to try. You're not going to be in bondage. You're not going to wonder if you can make it happen, if you're not going to make it happen. You're just going to love, because the love is within you and it's overflowing out of you. A person who tries to pretend to love will love one person but not the other. A person who tries to pretend to love will be kind to one person but not kind to the other. They'll be so occupied with the details of what they think is kindness toward the one person that they'll become very impatient or angry or irritable or frustrated or insecure about other people in a heartbeat, because it's all coming from them as a source. But they're not a source. And so they can't do it. If you love, you don't pick and choose. 1 John 3:20, if you're picking and choosing who you love, you don't really love people and you don't really love God. You have no love relationship with Him. And without loving people, you can't claim to love God. So people are pretending. But serving one another by love is you love people, and the manifestation of that love will become service. Will become being useful to them, being helpful to them. You're not trying to solve their problems or take over their issues or control their situation. You're loving them within it, and then you provide what you can to support them in it. Just like God does with us. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. What happens there? You find grace and you find mercy to help in time of need. So it's not that God's taking over your situations per se. I mean, He does in the respect that you're one with Him, but how do you deal with it on a personal level? You come to the throne of grace, and there you find a supply. Well, likewise with love. You come to love, and there you find a supply. And the supply that you find, you take, and it overflows with that supply of love toward other people. And then just because of love, you deal with it, not because you're focused on their need or their detail or their situation, but because you simply love. And then it will not be a picking and choosing love. It will not be, I'll be kind to one and unkind to the other. I'll be patient with the one I'm trying to serve, and I'll be impatient with the others. No, you'll simply love. The way that you know if you're pretending is, do you love one another as I have loved you? Not simply the one with the need, but the brethren, all the brethren. If you're picking and choosing and one gets patience and the other doesn't, one gets kindness and the other doesn't, you're pretending. It's not love. It's your flesh trying to produce something it doesn't possess, and thereby it has to pretend to possess it when it really doesn't. You get tired, you get worn out, you get frustrated, You just don't want to do it anymore after a while, but you continue out of a sense of obligation. And that has nothing to do with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You've lost this one point. You serve by love. You serve by love. You serve by love. Then when you serve by love, things flow. When you serve by love, people's capacity is built. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're in a hospital setting. Maybe you've had surgery and you are unable to take care of yourself. And let's say that the nurses need to help you because you can't take care of yourself with your personal private needs. If the nurse is kind in it, then what would be an otherwise very perhaps unpleasant or humiliating negative experience, you'll have a capacity for it. It may not be your preference, but it won't humiliate you and you'll be able to deal with it. But let's say the nurse is unkind in it. Then it becomes very humiliating, very negative. You're going to do whatever you can, perhaps, to even avoid it. Albeit, that could personally harm you. What's the difference? Pretending. One is pretending to care because it's her job. The other actually cares. And she's not pretending. And she's taken on a job that correlates with her care. I've seen both types of nurses. Many people have, and it makes all the difference in the world. Well, likewise with us loving people. If I don't actually love the person and pretend, ultimately that person, even though they may need the details taken care of for them, the capacity to receive that isn't going to be there. And so we love, and that's how we serve. We love, and that's how we serve. In Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you will know them. This is huge. By their fruits you will know them. By the Galatians 5:22 to 23, fruit of the Holy Spirit, you will know them. Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit present, or is the fruit of the Holy Spirit absent? That's how you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is the will of the Father in heaven? He just told you in John 14:23, love one another as I have loved you. There is the will of the Father. That is the will of the Son. That is the will of the Father. The Father loved in this manner, that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus loves in this manner, that he gave himself as the only begotten Son. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? They're great works. They're kind works. They're brilliant works. God didn't deny their wonderful works. Wondrous works. Works that are not easy for people necessarily. But there is a problem with that. If there is no will of the Father, if there is no love in it, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. It's just iniquity. It's nothing more than sin. He doesn't know them because their life being without faith amounts to nothing more than sin. In Romans 14:23, the blood of Christ removes sin. In 1 John 1:7, from time, in Psalm 103:12, there's nothing to know. It's just iniquity. It's just self-orientation. It's just somebody in their natural mind, through their natural thinking, looking by sight at a natural circumstance and saying, oh, this is the need. I feel obligated to fill it. And out of their natural provision, which is no provision at all, they try to fill a need that they're not equipped for, and so they pretend. It's not service. It's iniquity. I'm not saying we don't fill the need per se, although the need does not constitute the call, but let's say that there is a legitimate, correct reason to fill a need. You're the person to fill it. Okay, you do it by love. What if you don't possess that love? Then draw near to that love. Get built up in the Word of God. Seek the love of God. Get built up in that love. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. Get built up in that love. And then you won't have to pretend. Then you'll have it so that it can overflow. Their works were wonderful, but they were not fruitful. They did not seek God first, and therefore they thought they were doing wonderful works in His name, but they were in fact workers of iniquity. Their natural sincerity deceived them into a pretentious love in the energy of the flesh. That's not how you serve. Nobody can sustain that indefinitely. You might simply by the energy of the flesh and the power of the will sustain it for a while. But the love won't be there. The heart will become negative. The person will become impatient, frustrated. You'll be kind to one, not kind to the other. Patient with one, not patient to the other. Because the pressure in you is mounting, so the obligation remains, but the fruit of the Spirit is not present. And that's why you're one way with one person and another way with another. The obligation, that sense of it, is still there, but no provision with which to address it. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. People magnify the relationship they have with somebody beyond their relationship to Christ. And they turn it into a natural relationship. And then they want to bring in the flesh as the basis of that relationship. At that point, that relationship loses God's love and it becomes pretense. You may be close to somebody and so you want to bring in the flesh to be the foundation of a relationship. That's where the relationship dies. You never use the flesh. You never use the natural man for the things that only the Spirit can provide. That's why they'll love some, and in their effort, they reveal the source by being unloving, unkind, impatient toward others. But Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. So that means a friend at all times is seeking the Lord first. If I want to serve people, especially if you're in a position where this is a real need, perhaps with family or perhaps in a job situation or whatever, if you're in a position where this is a real need and you are the person to fulfill that need, then you have to seek the Lord first at all times and make your service of the person a service of God by receiving His love and then reflecting His love back to Him so that it overflows to other people rather than trying desperately but completely futilely to be the source of that service toward the other person because you are not a source. We don't love because of you. We love because He loves us. He's the source. So you draw near to the source. You seek the source. And then you possess a source. In 1 Samuel 20:23, The Lord be between you and me forever. This is a requirement for serving others by love. The Lord be between you and me forever. If you don't keep the Lord between you and the other person, there's not going to be any love. There's going to be the old sin nature. There's going to be the flesh. There's going to be natural thinking. There's going to be natural expression. And there's going to be a lot of pretending. But there will be no love. Because if I'm keeping the Lord between you and me, then in 1 John 4:16, I'm keeping Christ between you and me. I'm keeping love between you and me. And without keeping love between you and me, how am I going to do anything other than pretend? Where there is no source, there's no expression of that source. When you're the source, there's only the expression of you. If I'm the source of love, then the best that I can do is all you're going to get. But I'm not a source. I need a source. But I'm not a source. And God freely gives the source. In Daniel 9:4, God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. God keeps his covenant of mercy with those who love him. Well, God always keeps his covenant between us and him. This is why we can know him in Ezekiel 16:62. We likewise, if God has to keep his covenant between us, how much more do we have to keep his covenant between us? God keeps his mercy, which is the first manifestation of love in the form of patience, between us. God keeps it between us. We keep mercy between us. If I have mercy between us, then kindness will simply follow. All the other manifestations will follow. I cannot love you with myself as a source. I serve you by means of loving you. And without love, I cannot serve you. I can pretend, but I will not be able to do it. And my pretense will have no standing with God whatsoever. He's not in it. That I'm trying to do good. Who cares? It's you that's trying. Me and my fallen nature. This dust ball who is made of clay is trying in his natural ability, which is nothing more than the flesh, by sight, to fulfill something only God can fulfill. Good luck with that. It's not going to happen. You love God because you receive love. You love people because you receive love from God. God loves you and he transforms you into the image of love. Because you are in the image of love, you love God. Because you are in the image of love, you love people. There is your service, both to God and to people. Genesis 31:49. The Lord watch between me and you when we are absent from one another. We keep the Lord between us and are serving one another by love is a love act toward God instead of bondage to people. It's in our love from God and for God. It's not an effort toward anyone. If I'm to serve anyone, I have to serve them by love. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."